listening to WCNO, Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And yes, we're talking about Follow His Sandals. We're broadcasting live from sunny South Florida on WCNO. And today I want to talk about the Bible, reading the Bible for ourselves. I know we've talked about that, but if we're going to be serious about following Jesus, then we need to be serious about reading our Bibles. It's just the way it is. The Bible is God's word. It's God's explanation of His heart to us, His love. The same with our Lord Jesus Christ as well. We get to see Him for who He is. Now, before we get started, I wanted to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a verse we've handled before in this show. And the reason I want to show it again is because it reminds us that this is God's word. It's what He authored, He inspired. And honestly, I've supported several churches in the area, but it's rare that I hear somebody teach about why the Word of God is so important and why reading it ourselves is so important. I would like to give a shout-out, though, to Pastor Randy Kennedy up at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church. I got a chance to be a guest at his church, and he did a magnificent job handling the same section of Scripture. So shout-out to you, Pastor. Great job. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll pick it up in verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All right, start at the beginning. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the literal translation of that is all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. In other words, He authored, He inspired it. There were different writers, as we'll see. There's Paul, there's David, there's plenty of writers of the Bible, but the author is the same. It's God Almighty. That's why the Word of God fits so tightly, because God authored it. He's the author. He's the one who did it. He's the one who planned it. He's the one who executed it. And really, if you think about it, it's what God wanted said. God had a chance to do this. It's what He wanted said. So He wrote it for us. God knows Himself pretty well. He doesn't really need any self-examination. He's doing just fine. But He wrote the Bible for us. See, and the Bible, it says here, it's profitable, right? And we know what profitable means. It's profitable for doctrine, which is basically right teaching. It's what's correct. And then reproof. It's like if we're doing something wrong, it shows us where we're wrong. And then for correction, which is sometimes you do something wrong long enough, it becomes the new correct. And that doesn't mean it's right. Okay? But we've taught it so long, we don't realize it. Now, all these add up to this last phrase, for instruction in righteousness or right living. You see, the Bible is our guide. It's profitable to understand how to live rightly, how to live as good Christians, how to follow our Lord Jesus. That's what we want to do. And we read before in previous sessions of our show, we've talked about how Jesus Christ was so concerned about God's word, how it was such a big deal and such a big part of how He lived His life and how He ministered to people. Now, verse 17 is also very interesting because it gives us the purpose of the Word of God. Verse 16 says God authored it, right? And verse 17 shows kind of the purpose of it, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, that's interesting because it says man of God here. So I think some people look at that and say, oh, it's only for pastors. I guess the Bible's only for pastors, only for ministers. Well, unfortunately, that's not quite true. This is a man or woman dedicated for God, and in our day and time, that would translate as Christians. The Bible was written so Christians could be stand strong and follow our Lord Jesus Christ, which is what God wanted all along. Now, I'm going to go through the Bible, a little bit of an overview of the Bible today. We're not going to go into every book or every verse or anything, but just kind of give you an overview. So if you're starting to read the Bible yourself, this will be a thing that will help you. So first of all, when you open your Bible and you go to the very beginning of it, what you have is the book of Genesis. And we know about Genesis, right, many of us, because it's where we learn about Adam and Eve. We learn about some of the early great men of God, the spiritual fathers, as the Bible calls them. There's like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And Jacob became Israel, had his name changed to Israel. And his 12 children, 12 sons, became the 12 tribes of Israel. And you hear the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes? It's Jacob's kids who were the leaders of those 12 tribes. Now, the book of Genesis has great historical context. It really helps you understand how things set up. And you learn that one of Jacob's children his name is Joseph. Joseph was one of Jacob's sons, and he ended up being a hero in the book of Genesis, like you can read about yourself. His brothers got jealous of him, and they sold him into slavery in Egypt. Well, God takes care of Joseph and watches out for him while he's in Egypt and ends up promoting him, and he becomes the executive vice president of Egypt. He's in charge of the whole country, practically, except for Pharaoh himself. So God does some amazing things for Jacob and for Joseph because of Joseph's stand on God's word. And again, it's a great record to read in the book of Genesis. Then we get the book of Exodus. And again, I'm not going to go through every book, just a couple of them here. But Exodus is the story of when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Eventually things changed in Egypt and the children of Israel had to leave. So the Exodus happened, and that's when they left Egypt to go to the Promised Land. Now, they didn't get into the Promised Land right away, unfortunately, and you can read about that and reasons why. But basically, they forsook God. They kept forgetting about God. Next thing you know, they're in slavery doing bad things. But they didn't get into the Promised Land until much later on. Now, the books of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they're some very interesting books about their time in the wilderness. It's also some commandments to live by and some great truths in the Old Testament. After Deuteronomy is the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, Joshua leads the children of Israel into the Promised Land. This is the first time it actually happens. And they're there for a while. Then you get the book of Judges. The book of Judges was written. It's a historical account again. They're now in the Promised Land. And the judges are basically the leader, the spiritual leader of the people of children of Israel. And as one would, many of them would do great things, and then bad things would happen. Another one would rise up and do great things. It's a very interesting reading, very interesting and very telling, because God, like he did in the book of Genesis, had did some amazing things for his people. And the Old Testament is a great reference to see how God cares about his people and protects his people. And that's something we want to always keep in our minds, and reading the Old Testament will do that for you. Especially the book of Judges is very good for that. Then there's the book of Ruth, which is very interesting. And then you get to 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. And those are books about the kings of Israel. Eventually, Israel wanted a king. God didn't want to go that way, but the Israelites wanted a king. So he gave them a king, and things didn't work out quite so well. But one of the great kings of Israel that came out of was the King David. A lot of people have heard about King David and all of his great exploits. And again, God did many great things for him. And if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, what you will see is God doing amazing things in the lives of his people. And isn't that amazing? So if you ever want to get your faith built, you read the Old Testament. There's a lot of great stories you can read about how God did amazing, amazing things. Now, also in the Old Testament is the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms are amazing. It's basically songs, but they're songs of praise to God and focused on how good God is. And if you ever need a section of scripture to read just to make yourself feel good, the book of Psalms is a great place to go because there's so many great verses. We talked about them earlier. They're called Cool God Verses, CGVs, right? And there's so many of them that are great, that God did amazing things. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack, he says in Psalm 23. He restores my soul, again, Psalm 23. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Yahweh is good. It says that consistently in the book of Psalms because, newsflash, God is good. He really is good. He's not sort of good. He's not good some days, other days not so much. He's not good with a bad attitude once in a while. He's not good but has bad days. That's not God. God doesn't have bad days. God is not evil. God does not want hurt for people. The things happen sometimes, of course, but God wants people to be blessed, and he wants his people particularly to be blessed. So if you ever want a day to pick your spirits up, read the book of Psalms. So many great records of it. So many, many things. But it shows God's heart to his people and says God is good, right? I could read a bunch of Psalms verses to you now, but I want you to try that yourself. But then you get the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is also very interesting. It's basically spiritual wisdom. And you read about the book of Proverbs. There's all these great keys on how to be smart, how to be wise. And that's great, especially for young people. It's a great lesson to learn on what really is true in life. What really is good is not necessarily TikTok or Instagram, but God's word. And the book of Proverbs is a great place that talks about guarding your heart, right? A lot of great verses in the book of Proverbs. Now, also in the Old Testament, again, I'm not going to go through all of them, but you have the records of a lot of prophets. Now, these were God's men and women, and they wrote the books of the Bible. They wrote, God authored, but they wrote the books, and amongst them is Daniel. And again, another great historical record to show how God took care of his people. There's the great record of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, right? That was not a good day for Daniel, but God protected him, and he was fine the next morning, even though the people that wanted him dead, they didn't get their wish. You know, God protected Daniel. There's also a great record in Daniel chapter 3, if you want to look at it. It's the record of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these were three believers, three good guys, served God, loved God, and they were told to worship this golden image that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they refused. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, if you're going to refuse to worship the idol I set up, I'm going to throw you into a burning fiery furnace. And they said, well, we're not looking forward to going to the burning fiery furnace. We think God's going to take care of us. But even if he doesn't, we're going to stay strong to God. We're going to stay loyal and faithful to our wonderful God. And I don't know if you know the record, but you can read it yourself in Daniel 3. But God does. God sends an angel down and protects these three guys, and they come out of the burning fiery furnace. Not only are they not burnt, there's no smell of smoke on them. They're just totally delivered because God takes care of his people, especially people like them who they were faithful to God even in an amazingly difficult situation. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, they read about it on TV. They saw the burning fiery furnace. They saw it, and it was hot. It was so hot, in fact, as you read the record, that the men who were going to throw them into the fire, they were so close to the fire actually killed them. So when you look at this, these guys were right there. They had a chance to believe in God or die. And they could already feel the heat of the oven and then eventually get thrown in the middle of it. I mean, you want to talk about staying faithful to God under difficult circumstances. How about these three guys? They get thrown into the middle of a burning fiery furnace in an amazing situation because God delivers them all. And they go on, and of course the king, you know, supports these guys and takes care of them for the rest of their lives. There comes times in life when you have to stand up for God, to stand up and stay loyal and faithful to God. And that sounds great. I mean, we say, oh, that's easy. Well, it's easy sometimes. For these guys, it wasn't so easy, but they did it anyway. And if you stand strong for God, he'll always back you up. That's why he's so good and so loving. But these guys did it. And you can read there's other prophets you can read about, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, some great ones in there. And again, these guys, there's some great visions of what God's heart is for. You can read these verses. So a lot to read, but great historical accounts also of God's wonderful will to his people. Now, the last prophet was a guy named Malachi. And after his book, the time period of his prophetic writing, some 400 years go by before what's recorded in the Gospels, because the next thing, that's the end of the Old Testament. And then you got the New Testament. Well, the New Testament kicks off with the four Gospels, which talk about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth in his earthly body. And the four Gospels are amazing. They're fabulous to read because, you know, when you're witnessing to somebody and say, well, do you want to make Jesus Christ your Lord? Someone could say, well, why? Why should I make him Lord? Why not make Buford Lord or somebody else Lord? Well, the reason we make Jesus Lord is because we learn in the Gospels how amazingly wonderful he was. His heart was to love people and bless people. And, of course, one of the reasons we want to follow Jesus is follow his sandals is because of how great he was, because of how loving he was. He was super committed to God, super faithful to God, super committed to God's word, and he loved people all the time. He didn't not love. And so many times you can look and learn so many great lessons in life about looking at Jesus Christ. So I highly recommend you read the four Gospels. But technically, there's a section of the Bible that's more applicable to us than even the four Gospels. And that might sound kind of crazy or blasphemous, but it's really true. And we'll get into that in a little bit because the four Gospels end with the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they kind of overlap into the next book in the Bible, which is the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts many times is called the book of the Acts of the Apostles, called different things. But there is some overflow there. There's some overflow from what happened in the Gospels into what happens in the book of Acts. And we'll look at that more in depth right now. We're going to look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 has some great records in it. But what we're looking at today is the fact that it's a record of Jesus Christ showing up to his boys in his resurrected body. Now, these guys, they saw him die. They saw him die. They saw this happen. This is not some mystery. But three nights later, guess what? Boom, raised from the dead. Jesus is raised from the dead, right? The great story of Easter. Now, these guys, this look at a record here in Luke 24, it's these guys seeing Jesus after he was dead and resurrected. So in Luke chapter 24, we're going to pick it up in verse 33, please. It says, "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace be to you.'" Now that would be pretty miraculous, wouldn't it? You're sitting there talking about how Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, and who shows up in your room right there? Jesus. He says, "Look, peace to you. Look, no worries, I'm here, okay?" And he, Jesus, said to them, verse 37 says, "But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit." Yeah, that would do it, wouldn't it? Seeing the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ come show up in your living room, that would do it, right? So they were afraid, and they thought they had seen a spirit. But he, Jesus, said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why doth doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said thus, he showed them his hands and his feet. I mean, this is still an amazing time for these apostles, right? When he said to them, he showed them his hands and his feet, verse 41, "But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence." Now Jesus is going to teach him a bunch of things in this last time of his life here. Verse 45, it says, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of all these things.'" Now watch verse 49 closely. This is Jesus speaking, so he's not wrong too often, is he? Never is he. He's Jesus, right? Look what Jesus says here. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." That's important. The promise of my Father. He's telling these guys this. "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So part of this promise that of the Father that Jesus is talking about, it involves power from on high, right? Now, verse 50, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. And the book of Luke ends. But so Jesus says, look, go to Jerusalem, hang out. Sooner or later, the promise of the Father is going to come, and you're going to have this, right? And it's going to be power. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, the book of Acts is going to continue the story. It's got a little bit of overlap here, but if you go to Acts chapter 1, and I didn't put a bookmark in there, took me a second, sorry. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, and it's, by the way, the book of Acts was penned by Luke, who also penned the Gospel of Luke, so it makes kind of sense that he's the one that's continuing here. But who was the author? Was it Luke? No. Luke was the writer. The author is whom? God. All scripture, God-breathed. You got to remember that. The scripture is God-breathed. It's not Dave Hansen-breathed or WCNO-breathed or your pastor-breathed. It's God-breathed. That's why it's so critically important. It's God-breathed, which means it's what he wanted said. It's what God wanted said. I mean, I think about that. God authored this Bible, right, for us to read, and it's what he wanted said. He authored it, so he could have written whatever he wanted. He could have said, he could have had box scores for the NFL if he'd wanted. He could have done all kinds of things. What he chose was what's in the scriptures now. Now, Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach," and that would be the Gospel of Luke, "until," verse 2, "the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." When Jesus left and went, that's called the ascension. Sometimes you have that called the Ascension Sunday. It's the ascension when Jesus Christ ascended to the right hand of God, right? Now, verse 4 is interesting. At least I think it's interesting. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Sound familiar? That's what he told them back in Luke 24, right? Don't depart from Jerusalem. But to wait for the promise of the Father. There it is again. In Luke 24, it said, don't leave Jerusalem, right, till you get the promise of the Father. God's going to send something. Be cool, all right? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John, verse 5, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That sounds familiar. That's what he said back in Luke 24, same record. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. There's the ascension again. See, this little time frame is duplicated here from Luke 24 and here in Acts chapter 1. Now, sometime after this, get to Acts chapter 2. All right, this is what the apostles talks about, but in Acts chapter 2 is a very critical day in the Christian church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, with the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the great day of Pentecost, which is considered the birthday of the Christian church. This is the first day of the Christian church. In the four Gospels, there wasn't a Christian church yet. It wasn't available yet. But now on this day at Pentecost, now there's the new thing. There's a thing called a Christian church. All right. And this is day one. This is the birthday. All right. Now, interestingly, if you look at same chapter 2, but look at verse 38, Peter's going to give this big speech here, right? He's going to give this big speech about Jesus Christ, how God raised him from the dead and everything. Great, great big speech. And he gets all the way down to verse 38. And again, we're still in Acts chapter 2. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they, these are the 3,000 souls, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And it goes on. So here's day one of the Christian church, and they've already got thousands of believers. Pretty good-sized church, doesn't it, right? Now, again, you can continue to read the book of Acts. Great stuff. I want to jump ahead here now, because in the book of Acts, we're also introduced to a guy named Saul. And Saul's an interesting character, that's for sure. We're going to talk about him, we're going to go to chapter 8 and look at him. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, if you read chapter 7 of the book of Acts, you got a guy named Stephen, and Stephen's a believer, and he's trying to do the right thing. He's talking about Jesus Christ. And what ends up happening is that they're so thankful for his preaching, they stone him to death. Thanks, Stephen. Come again next week. No. He teaches the Bible, so he recounts the Old Testament and realizes these guys aren't going to listen to it. These guys stone Stephen, right? And chapter 8, verse 1, says, now Saul was consenting to his death. Saul was behind this or involved with this. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So this guy Saul's not too nice, is he? You go to chapter 9, we pick him up again. Chapter 9, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if they found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul's got a mission, doesn't he? He's here to destroy Christians. That's his job. He wants to persecute them, throw them in jail, whatever he can do, right? Now, what's going to happen, verse 3, is very interesting. And this is Acts 9, verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly a light shone round him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And, of course, Jesus Christ is going to tell him what to do, and it's going to change Saul completely. Saul's going to get totally born again. If you look at chapter 9 again, and if you look at verse 26, now Saul's born again now. He's a Christian now. In 9:26, look what happens. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Well, no, duh. I mean, he was dragging Christians out of the houses and dragging them into prison, wasn't he? Oh, he's coming to your church tomorrow. No, I'm good. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I think I'm feeling a little sick. Can't come tomorrow. Right? But they don't believe in him, right? But Barnabas, verse 27, Acts 9:27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. Nice, right? So Saul's a believer now. He's born again. He's not just a believer. He's not just a Christian, but he's a Christian who is seriously teaching about Jesus Christ. He's seriously involved. Now, if you want to turn there, you can, but Acts chapter 13 is a very interesting little verse. Just shows up out of nowhere. But we're learning in Acts about Saul. And in Acts chapter 13, look at verse 9. It says, Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at them. You could read the record, but what I'm trying to point out here is that this guy Saul, who was so evil and did so many bad things against Christians, he gets born again, doesn't he, right? And we find out that he's actually the same guy as Paul, who becomes one of the great apostles of the church administration, right? He's Apostle Paul. And that's amazing when you think about it, because the rest of the book of Acts, it's going to be all about Paul. And next time we get together, we'll talk about how the book of Acts ties in with the seven church epistles. But for today, what I want you to recognize is that, in fact, we'll look at Romans chapter 1. I can show you this. Romans chapter 1 is one of the epistles, because after the book of Acts is the church epistles, which is there is 9 epistles written to 7 churches. But Romans chapter 1 is very interesting. It kind of shows out who it's addressed to, right? Because now what's happening is we have Christians all over the place now, don't we? See? And these Christians who are everywhere, Paul is going to send them these letters. Now, did Paul write them? Yes. Did Paul author them? No. All Scripture is what? God breathed, right? But Romans 1 says, 1:1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. You get all the way down to verse 7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We'll talk about this more next time, but the church is made up of the saints, Christians, and Paul, this great apostle, He's going to author these epistles or letters to the seven churches, and this is where we want to go. One of the reasons I suggest to people they read the church epistles, yes, the Gospels talk about Jesus Christ, which is fabulous, obviously, but the church epistles, they go the next step, and they say, wait a minute, these are epistles that were written to Christian believers. And we'll pick it up next time when we get together. God bless you all wonderfully.
This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.
At Yeshua the Good Shepherd Child Care, every child is a precious gift from God. Our faith-based home daycare program nurtures biblically in a loving, safe environment. Located in Port St. Lucie, 772-309-2418.
Let me see you wave your hands in the air. Come on, we've come to magnify the Lord and give him some glory. Want you to help me sing this song. Come on, let the Lord say, if it had not said.